Taxes suck. So what can we do about it when it comes to tax planning and wealth transfer? We're going to talk about that this week here on Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul. Welcome into the podcast, everybody. Time to talk about taxes, wealth transfer, planning, all that good kind of stuff. Not that really good kind of stuff, but hey, we got to talk about it because at the end of the day, taxes suck and we got to figure out how to avoid or pay as little as possible. We got to pay our fair share, I suppose, but we want to make sure we're being as efficient as we possibly can. We're going to talk about that this week here on the podcast, Retirement Approved, which you can now check out online as well at retirementapproved.com. That's retirementapproved.com. Let's welcome in the guys. What's going on, Matt? How are you, my friend?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing very well. Looking forward to chatting with you guys this week. Steve, hanging in there, brother?
I'm great, man. Tigers are 4-0, undefeated, first place.
All right.
You know, we do record this podcast like a week in advance, so they could be in last place by the time this airs, so just keep that in mind.
We're optimistic.
That's fair. That is fair, right? They could potentially be in. It could be changed by the time you hear this. So we're going to share this information with you guys. As always, if you got some questions, need some help, please, before you take any action, reach out to a qualified pros like the team at rwpaul.com, rwpaul.com. Go check them out. All right, guys, so let's kick this thing off and talk about it. So three primary types of accounts. Let's open it up there. What's the first thing we want to look at?
The reason we started this was we wanted to talk about issues that our clients are bringing up. And one of the most common questions we get is, if we don't use this money, how is it passing on to our kids? What's the difference between all the account registrations? So we wanted to put together like a 10, maybe 15 minute podcast and just kind of address all those concerns. And the first account, so we'll talk about IRAs, we'll talk about Roths, but the first account I want to talk about is just your after-tax non-qualified account. And I feel like we get the most questions on that. Now the way that works is it's after tax. There's no RMDs at 73. Now you are going to have to pay tax on the growth, the interest that it spits off. And then when it goes to your kids, there's something called the step up and basis provision where at your time of death, they inherit the account value tax free. So when we look at how we want to allocate these accounts for our clients, typically looking at owning high quality stocks, and maybe some diversification with some ETFs that we're going to hold for a long period of time. So if they appreciate, if they grow, they get a nice step up in basis at time of death.
Yeah, and I'll give you a neat example there. Say a client bought Apple stock 25 years ago. They put 10 grand in, and now, I don't know, it's at 200, 250,000. There's no taxes due on that upon an inheritance because the beneficiaries now have a basis of 250,000. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and Tesla stock too. You look at all these different tech stocks. We've had a couple clients that have huge Tesla positions with a ton of growth. So,
well, this is a great point, guys, because there's something recently it's been making the rounds, probably the last 6 months, right? It's called the Great Wealth Transfer. I'm sure you guys saw this. It's kind of conversation on a regular basis. They're estimating anywhere between 50 and 100. I want to say, was it billion? It's a ton of money to be transferred, right? I think it's 50 to 100 billion. That's what it was. To be transferred from baby boomers down to their kid, Gen Xers, or like myself, or even grandkids, right? And so there's a real tax savings and there's a real cost savings in maybe doing the transfer of these assets after we've passed, right? Versus, because we get questions like that all the time. Hey, should I leave the house to the kids or something like that? So that's where that step up in basis conversation comes in, correct?
Exactly. So in that example, if you had that Apple stock, you wait till you pass away to get that step up rather than gifting that Apple stock and incurring gains throughout your life. Definitely a tax advantage.
And same thing with a house too, correct?
Correct.
No. Okay. Yep. So what's the 10-year rule, Matt, on IRAs?
So if you think about baby boomers, their number one asset is typically going to be their 401k or IRA if they're retired and rolled it out. And the 10-year rule applies to IRA money. So formerly, you would have been able to inherit that IRA and take it over 30, 40 years, your life expectancy. But in 2020, they changed that rule and they said, hey, let's make it 10 instead. Let's change the rules on you. You saved $1 million into this account. We're just going to change it for you.
Psych.
So now beneficiaries need to distribute that account over 10 years. Typically, you'll want to do a withdrawal each year. Sometimes you're required to. If your parent was RMD age, you are required to take those distributions each year. But with pre-tax money, you don't want to kick it out and make that tax time bomb even bigger. So you want to take it out try to take it out in equal payments over the decade, unless there's some weird scenario where maybe you're retiring in 5 years and you want to take more in years 6 through 10.
And that's why we talk about the Roth all the time. So Matt just made a great point. With the IRAs, typically you want to chip away at it. You know, if you inherit in your 40s and 50s, those are your higher earning years. So you want to take a little bit out every year if you can, keep you in the lower brackets. You don't want to wait until year 10, distribute the whole thing where you're just going to get crushed. Half of it's going to go to the government. But with the Roth, same rules apply. So you don't have to take it out in year one. So you essentially inherit a Roth for 9 years. You can let it continue to grow tax-free. Year 10, you got to move it into a non-qualified account. From that point on, you need to recognize, you know, the cap gains on the growth and the interest that it generates. But you inherit a Roth for 9 years. I mean, the compounding power there is huge.
And let me throw up a chart here, because you know me and my charts.
Let's do it.
So this is just a comparison. If Mark, let's take you for instance. If you were to inherit $500,000 in an IRA, or if you were to inherit $500,000 in a Roth IRA. So that left side is showing you, hey, you got to take out around $69,000 a year. And that's the rough math to zero that account out if you average 8%. Now, in reality, the market's going to go up 20, down 10, give you a flat year. You're not going to get 8% year in and year out. This is just a hypothetical example to show you how it works. But that account gets depleted over 10 years. And if you were to reinvest that IRA, you'd have about $750,000. So as you're taking distributions, you're putting it back into the market. Now, in reality, a lot of people spend that money and you end up and you don't reinvest it. And that IRA pays out $483,000. Now, let's look at that third category. If you're to inherit a Roth IRA, you're not forced to take any distributions out. So you can grow and grow and grow that, distribute it all in the 10th year, and at 8%, you're going to more than double your money. So in this case, the Roth IRA is about 40% better than inheriting an IRA and being forced to make those distributions.
And a point to make here is Matt showing a 30% tax rate. So it could be higher than that. Like I said, when you pass this money on, typically it's to your kids during their highest earning years, their 40s or 50s. I mean, their marginal rate could be 35%, throw state in there, and almost 40% of your money is going to the government. Just be very careful of that.
Yeah, that's a great point, you know, because if you're fortunate enough to have a good, even just decent longevity in your life, right? I'm 52, my mom's 82, right? So peak earning years, to your point, Steve, right? So she passes and leaves stuff, you know, that could be a bigger tax hit on me, you know, if she's not doing some proper planning and stuff. So good stuff there for sure. You know, so king of the charts, what else we got here? And then we got another one you want to throw up.
Well, one of the problems with people right now is the Roth IRA is pretty new. It came out in 1998, didn't get a lot of traction, and they added it into 401ks around a decade later, not sure on the year there. But most baby boomers have funneled all the money into the pre-tax portion of their 401k. So when they come to us, they've got a large 401k, maybe if they're lucky, a small Roth IRA. So it comes down to how are we going to get this money out of the IRA?
And when a lot of people come to see us, the first thing they say is, well, I can't contribute to a Roth anymore. I'm retiring. I don't have an income. Yeah, you can't contribute, but you can convert from your IRA. And one of the biggest mistakes we see is waiting until 70, 71, 72 to start the tax planning. Oh, I'm within a couple of years of my RMD. I need to start my tax planning now. What can I do? There's not a heck of a lot you can do at that point. So at time of retirement, even if you're in your early 60s, that's when the tax planning starts. And we call it tax bracket shopping here. So if you're not maxing out that 12% bracket, I think you are crazy not to go in and do a Roth conversion. It makes so much sense. Think about it this way. You're making a deal with the government. Would you rather pay 12 now, or possibly 22 down the road, or your kid possibly paying them 30 bucks. So and once you make that conversion, worst case scenario, you get to 73, you're paying the 12%. You still can't take that RMD and put it in a Roth. You have to put it in a non-qualified account because you can't convert your RMDs. And if it still stays at 12, you get 10 plus compounding, tax-free compounding years, and then followed by another hopefully 20 of tax-free compounding years. Matt's going to start talking about folding paper 50 times and going to the moon.
Right.
Yeah. And just to add to that, it goes back to what our father used to say. Would you rather pay taxes on the seed if you're a farmer at a known rate, or on the crop after it's all grown and beautiful and you're harvesting it at an unknown rate, which is probably going to be higher. So it makes a ton of sense when you're in that retirement zone. Say you retire at 65, RMDs start 8-9 years later. It makes a lot of sense to start doing some conversions then. So what we have, I'll have you throw up another chart, Mark, here.
Yeah.
How many charts do you have?
what a shock. Hey,
I was busy on Excel. Okay. So this chart just shows that same dollar amount we used before, $500,000. If you were to do a Roth conversion over a number of years, so $69,000 each year, and say you're paying $30,000 in taxes on each conversion.
Right.
Now, this example is saying you're paying the taxes from the conversion. You do have the ability to pay from your bank, which is going to be the preferred route because that means more money gets into the Roth. But let's track that IRA column. Your 500 grows to over a million, take 30% taxes out, you're at 755,000. On the flip side, on the Roth, if taxes stay the same and you're at 30%, there's actually no benefit to the Roth conversion. You're at 755,000. So that just shows you it's a matter of future taxes. If we're to increase taxes just 5%, that'll be our next chart here, which shows the IRA less 35% taxes. So you can see instead of having 755,000, now you're at 700,000. So there's a $50,000 difference. But then the real power with Roth is compounding period. So you let it go out another decade, that 5% difference accounts for about 125,000, which is fairly substantial. I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
We get the question a lot too. So I make all these conversions and then at 73, I just have to start pulling it out of my Roth IRA and taking RMDs. You don't have to take RMDs from the Roth IRA.
From the Roth.
That is the promised land.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is now growing.
Until they change the rules.
I was going to say, unless they change the rules, right?
We're all playing their board game. They can change the rules at any time, well, right?
Steve, let me ask you a couple questions about those RMDs, right? So since you brought that up, right? So right now it's currently 73, right, that they're making us do it. It's supposed to shift to 75, I think, here in the future. So if you're a certain age, depending on when you're born, right? But you mentioned earlier people like either working, they've got all this money in the traditional accounts and they start thinking about doing these conversions. When is it too late to convert? Like if you haven't started RMDs yet and you only have like a year to go, could you still do conversions? Is it worth it?
You could, but then you got to look at the amount that you're going to convert. If you, let's say you've got 20 grand until you max out the 12 and you leak into the 22 and you bump your effective up to maybe 16, 17, and you convert 35 grand. What is that really doing? I mean, it's good. Still do it if you retire late and you only have 1 year, but you want to start it early and chip away and try to do 25, 30 every single year.
What's a good window? Like if you're thinking about, if you're penciling in retirement at 73, we'll just use that number. Are we talking 5 years worth of planning there? Is that a good kind of place to try to go? Or
I say whenever you retire. So if you retire at 62, start it at 62. You retire at 67, start at 67. And there's a lot of cases where we have clients that say, hey, I need all of this money to generate what I need. We've got 130 grand coming in. We max out the 22 and we don't look at doing any conversions because it's not a major issue. But if you're one of those people that's spending 5 grand a month and you've got some wiggle room in that 12% bracket, and if you don't take the RMD, I'm working with a couple people that if they don't take the RMD, they just let it continue to compound and grow until 73. When they actually take it, it throws them into the 22. So not only can they not convert it, they've got to pay 22% Fed now on it. So we built a plan where they're converting and staying within that 12 and paying 12 now instead of 22 later. And that minimizes the burden of the RMD in the future, where less of it goes into that 22% bracket.
And just to add to that real quick, once you do hit that RMD age, whether it's 73, 74, 75, doesn't mean you can't do Roth conversions. It just means you got to take that RMD first. So say your RMD is 20,000, you got to take that out. Then you can convert over and beyond that, but you might be up against those brackets, like Steve was saying.
Yeah, you take that RMD, you max out the 12 with the RMD, and then you go into the 22 doing the conversion. So that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. We want to make sure we hit that 12 early on.
All right. So let me, you were talking about tax bracket shopping earlier. So Matt, I see that there is a chart for this from our Aunt Irma. Should we throw that? By the way, if you never heard that term, folks, I think that's hilarious. So you've got your aunt and your uncle who always have their hand in your pocket. Uncle Sam and Aunt Irma.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people haven't heard of Aunt Irma.
Well, tell us about her.
It comes as a surprise. So if you're not aware of it, It's a 2-year look back on Medicare. So you are eligible for Medicare when you turn 65, and you're going to pay some sort of premium for Part B, Part D. And if you hit these different income thresholds, even with these conversions, it's going to affect your Medicare 2 years later. So by the time you forget about your conversion, they're increasing your Medicare costs because of your prior income. So it's not anything that we're going to say don't do a conversion because of it. We just want to be aware of where those thresholds are so we can come up to them and meet them and not exceed them.
Yeah, and if you're doing larger conversions, the last thing you want to do is trip the first threshold by $1,000. If you're going to trip that first threshold and increase your Medicare premiums for a year, you want to blow by it and do some heavier conversions.
Yeah, and then this chart just shows you the different income thresholds and how much those Part B and D portions would increase respectively.
All right. All right, good stuff there, guys. So let's wrap it up here with a couple kind of final thoughts for people. Let's just hit some common IRA traps. A couple things you guys want to highlight. Let's bullet point these out for folks. What you got, Matt?
So the first one is just Uncle Sam changing the rules on us, like we've talked about. So that's tax hikes down the road. We know one of them is most likely coming. So the Tax Jobs and Cuts Act at the end of 2025 is going to go away, and we might revert to 2017 tax brackets. Unless maybe an election is coming up and they might want to get some more votes and say, hey, we're going to extend it. So who the heck knows there, but that's the risk.
Yeah.
Here's some free stuff.
so whether old guy A or old guy B gets in, those rules could change, right?
You got it. But we know at some point down the road, we're $36 trillion in debt. At some point, taxes are going to go up. So we know that.
Got
so
it.
By the time the show's airs, we'll probably be $40 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're going up. Do any of you think they're going down?
Yeah. I think you know what? You said that sarcastically, but I don't think you're being that sarcastic. I mean, like, we're taping this on a Thursday. It'll probably drop one day next week, you know, with maybe 5-6 days later. That's a real possibility. That's kind of terrifying, right?
Yeah. For any listeners that have not been to usdebtclock.org, just go there and watch the debt tick up second by second. It's insane.
And take an aspirin so that you don't have
or don't do that. Just enjoy your retirement. You will do go that. Be super there you go. Watching that debt
great clock. Great point. All right, Steve, give me another common IRA trap here, bud.
Well, I talked about wealth transfer and transferring to your kids during their highest earning years. Now, you're going to be transferring the three types of accounts. You're going to transfer the non-qualified account, the IRA account, and then the Roth account if we do the conversions. That will lessen the tax impact because the non-qual account is going to tax, is going to get a step up in basis, so it's going to transfer tax-free. The Roth is going to transfer tax-free, and they're going to be able to let that roll up and continue to roll up for 9 years, and then they're going to inherit the IRA account. If you don't do any of this planning, they're just going to inherit the IRAs. And if their tax bracket's, you know, 30 plus, it's going to be a bit of a tax time bomb for them. They could very well be higher than that. I don't know where taxes are going. I think they're going up. I just don't know how far up they're going to go. I don't know if they're going to change the rules where now they have to disperse it over 5 years. Just be very careful there, because if they're doing well, that's just more of your money going to the government later. And I know nobody likes paying taxes. It's a conversation I have daily with clients. I know you don't want to pay them now. You want to delay them as long as you can, but here's why you don't want to do that. And one of the final reasons is your kids are just paying a much larger tax bill.
That's what we've been ingrained to do, though, Steve. I mean, like, that our whole lives, it's been told, hey, kick it down the road. And you know, to your point, nobody wants to pay taxes. So we like that idea. We're like, yeah, I'll kick those taxes down the road. Because most of us sit there, I mean, like I said, I'm 52 earlier. I never thought I'd be 52. So 30 years ago, I'm like, yeah, pump that thing down the road because I could care less because it'll be forever before I'm 52. Well, forever is here. So, you know.
You can only kick that tax can for so long.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what else we got?
So excessive RMDs. So that just means, hey, your RMDs are way more than you actually need to live off of. So if you've got $1 million IRA and your RMDs in that 40 grand range, but you already have a pension, you already have Social Security paying the bills, that's 40 grand added on top of your income, no matter what, that you can't do anything about. If you don't take it, you're going to pay a 25% penalty now. So just one of those tax time bombs. Again, we use that phrase, but it's just one of those things. If you don't plan for it, it's going to sneak up on you.
Yeah. And this is where the tax planning and a time of retirement comes into play, because we've sat with a lot of people that come in close to RMD age and go, help me out. What should I be doing? And there's nothing that we can do at that point. Now their RMDs are going to take them into the 22, and when you show them, hey, we could have done these Roth conversions up front, and you would have been paying 12. Now you're paying 10% more to the government because we kicked that can down the road to RMD age. It's tough news to break. They don't usually take it very well. So time of retirement, just as important as income planning and everything else, and allocation and risk reduction, is tax planning.
And I'll go ahead and take the last IRA trap. And this is a really sneaky one that not a lot of people think about. And this is loss of spouse risk. So this can be your spouse passing away or divorce. But think of it this way, Mark. You've been paying into that 401k of yours for 30 years now, 20, 30 years. And at retirement, or close to retirement, or a few years into retirement, your spouse passes away. I know we never like thinking about that, or a divorce happens. You deferred all of that income married filing jointly. So much better tax brackets versus single. So now you're having to take that IRA money out in single brackets. And that is devastating.
Oh yeah, you're right. That is a sneaky one.
Not a fun one to end on, though.
No, yeah, not a great
downer.
Yeah, a little downer. But you know what? I mean, that's a huge point, though, because again, if your whole thought is how to, you know, tax planning and wealth transfer here in the conversation, that could significantly alter that plan that you may have had in your head all along. And it's like, whoops, don't.
It blows up a lifetime of tax deferral.
Yeah. That the aunt and uncle didn't just pick your pocket. They flat out ripped you off. You know, they just took off and ran with that. So that's good stuff, guys. I mean, yeah, a little bit of a downer to talk about. Go ahead.
It's just a hard, taxes, they suck. Like you don't want to pay them. You don't want to think about them. It's easier to go, you know what? Like I'll pay taxes tomorrow. It's like the diet starts tomorrow. Like I don't want to think about it. I don't want to do any type of planning. I'll worry about that down the road. You can go about it that way, but you're probably just paying the government a lot more if you do it that way. So
yeah, and that's breaking news for folks. You heard it here first. Taxes suck. So
that should be the name of this episode. Taxes.
Why don't we just suck. We'll just call this episode "Taxes Suck." Yeah. What can we do about it? I like it. Perfect. All right. Any final thoughts before we go, guys? I think I get some folks to think some stuff to think about. We went a little longer than we planned, but that's all right. I think it was good conversation in there. Any final thoughts?
Nope. I agree. Taxes suck.
Okay. All right. Well, if you need some help, you know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, we'll have some information for you in the show note details of the podcast in audio form or video form. Check it out on Apple or Spotify. Or YouTube, of course. You can find all the information there. You can also find all this stuff at the website, rwpaul.com. That's rwpaul.com. Get yourself onto the calendar. Have a conversation about your retirement strategy or lack thereof, your tax planning strategy or lack thereof, and get started today with Matt and Steve and the whole team at Richard W. Paul and Associates. Again, it's rwpaul.com. That's where you find it. Again, we'll have all those links and notes in there for you, rwpaul.com. Guys, we'll see you next time. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Retirement Approved.